the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for Oculi is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. But some of them said, "He cast out the demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons," while others to test him kept seeking signs from him from heaven. He, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil." Thus far the text. Can you believe that some standing right there in the midst of Jesus casting a demon out of a man would have the audacity to call something that is clearly good evil? They see this demon cast out, which pretty much everybody would think is a good thing. But then they say that Jesus is doing it by the power of the devil, as if it's an evil thing. Calling something good evil? Now that's just strange, isn't it? But what a great revelation that this event in history brings to your ears. Some calling a good thing evil. And friends, the temptation to flip-flop good and evil lies within each and every one of you. Because fallen flesh, which all of mankind is trapped in, is continuously inclined toward that kind of thinking. It's called a theology of glory. And the only thing that gets rid of it is the theology of the cross. The theology of glory is a self-justifying way of living or being religious. Oh yes, the old man in you is more religious than you know. And he's very crafty at justifying the evil things as good, while also calling the good things evil. Need an example? How about the fact that the majority of people don't believe that they're that bad? And in doing so, they just called something that is evil good. Remember what St. Paul was inspired by God to write about his own flesh in Romans chapter 7. "I know that nothing good dwells in my flesh." How else might your flesh justify itself and turn things around most of the time without you even being aware that you're doing it? Because that's how much the old man resides in you. How else? How about calling the law of God an evil thing? Just like they did back at the time of Jeremiah. Calling the law of God an evil thing, while it is very good. The law gets preached in its sternness, and your flesh sits there and thinks, "Okay, you can stop now. That's enough. Don't dig too deep into me. Don't expose those things that God himself knows then sees, but that doesn't really bother me because I just avoid looking at myself according to God's Ten Commandments. And then it's smooth sailing with no convictions, no remorse, no looking at my evil thoughts, words, and deeds. And that makes me feel good. Yeah, it's a bummer that when I come to God's divine service, I have to hear God's true word of law against my flesh. It exposes me and bums me out so much that I don't mind missing church. I don't mind avoiding God's truth about me. That harsh law, as for other people, that truth of God's word, it's not for me. It's for all those other more serious sinners. Not the trivial mistakes that I might make every once in a while. How could God care about envy, or gossip, or idolizing little things, or even loved ones? God having hatred towards somebody else, they had it coming anyhow. Using vulgar language, they're just strong adjectives or interjections, that's all. Those cursing words are becoming the language of everybody these days. So why should I be concerned about a trash mouth? I'm sure God doesn't even care anymore about all that small stuff. It's not all that evil. In most cases, it's needed. So it's good. Come on, think about it. If the more prominent sins that God's word says are evil are becoming tolerated and approved by the world, how can the truth of God's word actually care about those other smaller things? Abortion, homosexuality, pornography, sex before marriage, excessive anything? Come on, in all of those cases, the ends justify the means. So they're not that evil. Again, they're good. And if the end of those things justifies their means, then certainly the tiny little errors must not really matter in the end either. God just wants me to be happy. It's all about living your best life now, isn't it? It's all about avoiding all that strict law that really reveals my failures. It's about being free to do whatever I want. Care for my neighbor more than myself. Actually risk being rejected because I care about a person's eternal well-being. Oh, forget about all of that. That's changed. Or at least it seems that the world has a better twist. I'll go with saying that God is not about suffering at all. I'll say he's all about glory. Yeah, that's good. All that penitential, self-reflective repentance stuff, that gloomy, bloody Christ crucified and dying and rising stuff, that too evil. I'll avoid that. I'll say that God instead only works through the powerful, evidenced, strong things that are easily understood, not the weak, hard things that are beyond comprehension. I'll make God's grace all about how blessed I am to have and to not be without. All about me and my smooth sailing with no struggles of any kind. control, leaving me alone because he knows that I have the knowledge of good and evil perfectly understood. And friends, that is the voice of the old man who daily rears his enslaved will inside of you, causing you to trust in a presumed righteousness, thus self-justifying over and over to the point that what is evil becomes justifiably good, and what is good justifiably evil. Repent and believe in the gospel. Yes, don't miss it. Hear now the sweet gospel of God that rescues and delivers after being devoured by the law. As Luther once penned in his Heidelberg Theses, it is certain that man must utterly despair of his own ability before he is prepared to receive the grace of Christ. And the grace of Christ is delivered now unto you. In spite of yourselves, the finger of God delivers you the forgiveness of your sins. The theology of the cross calls something what it is. Sin is sin. The theology of the cross calls it what it is. And sin cannot be cured. It must be killed. The theology of the cross steadfastly holds Christ crucified before your eyes. And that is good. It is not evil. Christ Jesus is the one who became sin for you, being killed for you, that sin would be dealt with for you. That is gospel. That is good news. Do you want to get better? Be repenting and believing, which is to say, by God-given faith, trust not in your flesh. Trust alone in the merits of Christ crucified for you. The theology of the cross is the theology of the Holy Scriptures. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it or guard it. So be hearing the word of God, and you're guarding and keeping it. It's God's word that is continually keeping you in Christ crucified, bringing you to continually die and rise to new life through his word and sacraments received. Don't say, man, I'm glad I'm not as bad off as that demon-possessed guy. What do you think the finger of God has rescued you from and continues to rescue you from as he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and your sinful nature, which do not want to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come? Stare, my friends in Christ. Stare at the bronze snake who became flesh, lifted high, that all men would be drawn to him. It's no coincidence that as the snake was lifted high, so was Christ crucified. No matter how foolish it sounded, looking at the very thing that was killing them while promising them life, those who heard the word of God and were brought to changes, that is the grace of God that's always sufficient. God's power is made perfect in weakness. That's how and why St. Paul was inspired by God to write, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses or sufferings, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Jesus did not use evil disguised as good. That is the way of the devil. But it is what Jesus was accused of. Instead, Jesus calls something what it is. Evil is evil. And he uses good to cast it out, as he is only good. The world, sinful flesh, and the devil attempt to twist it around, but to no end. For God's word creates life. God's word opens lips and creates a confession of faith. God's word takes that which is evil, destroys it, and remakes anew. God's word of law and gospel, killing and bringing to life, bespeaking you righteous, and rightly bringing you to be justified only by word-created faith. From Christ's wounds, which are good and not evil, he feeds you forgiveness of sins. From Christ's wounds drips life and salvation received by faith. From Christ's wounds pours forth the truth that your sin has been dealt with and destroyed. It is only through the stronger man, Christ crucified, that the strong man is overcome. It is only through Christ's death that life is delivered. And as you are brought to repent and believe, ever receiving the word of God and his holy sacraments, ever receiving God's unearned, undeserved grace, forgiveness of sins accomplished for you, and blessed are you indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.